Like for you to turn your Bible, the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews in chapter number 2. In a moment, I'm going to tell you the title to my message. But before I tell you the title to the message, I want you to, before you get up and walk out, or before you don't listen to it in all of its content, please pay attention. Title of my message today is Salvation Can Be Lost. Salvation can be lost. Pay attention. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, please. Verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. I pray, O God, that You might give us open heart, listening ears. Spirit of God, I pray that You would teach us today from this Your holy word. We are thankful today that we can rest upon it. We're thankful for its authority. Lord, we just pray now that You would speak to us very vividly. God, may You have the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a wonderful gospel. The gospel, as we find from the literal translation of the word, means good news. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, I declare unto you the gospel. He goes on to say to you and to me that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find from Scripture that the Lord, what? He died for our sins. The reason He died for our sins is because you and I deserve to die for our sins. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Adam and Eve, as they partook of that fruit that day, which was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they were destined to die. Some say they died spiritually because they were cut off from God. But I will say to you today that God did something for them on that day. He provided for them another that died for them. For we find from the Word of God that they had hid themselves from God. They had put fig leaves about themselves because they now knew their nakedness. But we find that God clothed them with the skins of an animal. In order for an animal to die, or to have its skin taken, it must die. Contrary to what is taught in our schools and taught in our universities, the very first thing to ever die was that animal. There was not death and dying before that time. There were not, upon the face of the earth, fossils that had been gathered there for millions of years. Because the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Until that day, there was no sin. Matter of fact, God, when He created everything, He said that it was good. When He finished it, He said it is very good. And so as we believe the Word of God, and by the way, it's our authority. You can go to somebody who has some sort of degree behind their name, but they can be degreed right into the pit of hell. It does not mean that they have the wisdom of God. So I go to the Word of God, the source of wisdom, and I find that as God created everything and made it proper and right and good, nothing died until that day. It does not say what kind of animal, but if it holds true to the type that God used later, on that day a lamb died. And that skin was taken and placed upon the bodies of both Adam and Eve, and God called that a covering for their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, and John the Baptist looked out and saw Him as He approached Him. And he told the people, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John on that day, as the forerunner of Jesus, introduced to you and to me the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for us. We deserve to die for our own sin, but He died for us. He was buried in a grave, and up out of that grave He arose the third day, the Bible says, for our justification. Not only did He pay for our sins, but He, through His resurrection, made it possible for us to stand just before God. Thus the privilege of heaven. Thus also we have a Savior that is alive who intercedes in our behalf. And we ought to be very thankful today. So we find a wonderful story. We have a Savior who, what He do? He died for us. We have a gospel that is given to us, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel is proclaimed to us, especially throughout the New Testament. We find as we pick up our Bibles in the Old Testament, we read that you and I, we are given a law. In that law, we find that we're not able to accomplish what God demands of us. You and I cannot demonstrate righteousness, nor can we demonstrate holiness. It is not in us to do that sort of thing. Matter of fact, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." That law is to show us that you and I are guilty before a holy God. That law condemns us. The Bible says in John 3:18, "He that believeth not is condemned when? Already." You and I, when we are born, basically stand before God as sinners. We are born or conceived in sin. In other words, we are born with a sin nature. We have in this room a lot of parents. And I believe we have good parents. And I believe our parents have a desire to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But as a parent, you have found out something. You have found out that your child acts just like your husband or your wife. You have found out that they have taken on your nature. Sometimes you look at your children and you say, "Man alive, of all the things that they could have taken on, why did they take that of my traits?" Well, we are born with a sin nature. We don't have to teach our children to sin. We don't have to give courses in how to steal or to lie. We don't have to do that. It comes innate within every child. Matter of fact, it stays with us throughout adulthood. We are the kind of people that when we do something wrong, we want to make sure that it's blamed upon somebody else. And so we play the blame games. Why? Because we don't want to admit to our own guilt. But the Bible is very clear as we go through the laws of God and we find that we have sinned against Him. But the Lord God has done something for us. And that is He has offered to you and to me a gift. The Bible says in the book of Romans, in chapter number 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I today have a gift given to us. And that gift is eternal life. The only way that we can receive that gift is to do so by faith. Bible teaches us, "For by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should what? Boast." If you and I believe the way to salvation is that we go to church, we be good little people, and we don't do anything wrong, we're going to go to heaven. We are absolutely wrong. We cannot get there that way. Well, first of all, you've missed a lot of church. Secondly, you have not done everything right. You say, but preacher, from this moment on, I'm going to do everything right. You'll be the first one. I haven't seen that in anybody's life yet. Matter of fact, if God ever calls you to preach, one thing you can depend upon is job security. That is, that you always have sinners you can preach to. You may have saints that get mad at you because they have the sin nature and don't want you in their life anymore, but you're always going to have sinners to preach to. Why is that? Because the world is full of them. Of the 7 billion people populating the face of our earth, every one of them is a sinner. Not a one of us are exempt. All have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth righteous. The Bible says, no, not one. But God has given us that gift. We'll accept that gift. You and I have a wonderful privilege of receiving the gift of God. But I say to you this morning, the salvation that God extends to each and every one of us can be lost. That salvation can be lost if we refuse to listen to God. Notice what it says in verse number 1. Therefore we ought to give what? The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Or let them slip, excuse me. Maybe sleep is a good word there. We need today to what? Listen to the exhortation of God. We need to listen to what God has to say. I imagine in this room there's not a person here that could say, preacher, I know somebody that won't listen to God. I know people, if you talk to them about God, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to hear about the Savior. They just want to go on with their life like it is. And most of God's people could say amen to that this morning. Amen? We know folks like that. And what's going to happen? They're going to lose the salvation that God has provided for them because they will not listen to the voices that are trying to tell them Jesus saves. Isn't that amazing? We have the privilege, we have the wonderful opportunity to listen to Him. You can read in your Bible, you find that God teaches us that there is no man without excuse. Romans chapter 2 makes it very clear. He tells us that every man has in some way, shape, or form heard the voice of God and cannot excuse himself from it. Whether they be in the darkest of jungles or whether they be in the midst of our populated cities, men have an opportunity to be saved. God has provided that for them. But many will not listen. And so the Lord tells us here that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I wonder this morning, how many of you say, preacher, I've heard biblical truth and I've forgotten it. I've heard things from the Bible and I can't remember it right now. I've read things from the Word of God and I've read other things that were godly and they were truthful, but I've forgotten those things. I might say, preacher, I'm with you on that. I can raise my hand. We are forgetful, are we not? And so we need to be a people, by the way, who even know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have accepted that gospel, that we give earnest heed. In other words, keep on listening. Keep on listening. Keep on reading that precious Word of God. Otherwise, we allow those things to what? Slip out of our presence. It is so easy on our behalf. Notice verse number 2 of our text says, for if the word spoken to angels was steadfast. In chapter number 1, he talks about the angels and how they are ministering spirits. By the way, a lot of God's people get all enamored about the angels and don't get too excited about the Holy Spirit, who is the great minister. Amen. And praise the Lord for angels, but thank God for God. Thank God for who He is and for the Spirit of God who speaks to our soul. But He says here, if the word spoken by them was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, they got what they deserved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice what it says, which was first begun to be spoken by the Lord. We have a wonderful gospel. We have a gospel that says that Jesus Christ came to this world, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross for the sins of others, was buried in a rich man's tomb, was raised from the dead, and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. That same Savior, by the way, the trumpet's going to sound very soon. And the dead in Christ are going to rise to meet Him in the air. And we which are alive will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That same Lord, 7 years later, is coming back to this world as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe you and I will be with Him, and He will conquer this world, and He will have 1,000 years of reign of righteousness. What a great time that will be. There will be a brief moment of rebellion as the devil is loosed, and those who have never put their trust in Jesus during that time will rise up against Him. But that will be conquered, and we will spend eternity with God. Hallelujah for that wonderful opportunity. You and I have a great Savior that came to give to us a gospel. That gospel was first, He says, spoken by the Lord. You and I have this gospel at our disposal. And yet, what do we find? We find that people want to argue with God. People want to listen to Him, and then they want to argue with Him. We're the kind of people that say, well, listen, you know, I just don't believe that that's the way that it is. I've heard people say, I have my own thoughts and my own beliefs. Can I say to you, in all sincerity, if what you believe is outside of the realm of the Holy Scriptures, you're just absolutely wrong. You have no leg to stand upon. You somehow believe that what you have to say and think is more important than what God has to say or to think. Let me read to you a scripture found in the book of Psalm 36. Verse 1 and 2 says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Think about that phrase there. He flattereth himself in his own eyes. I've met so many men. I'm thinking of one right now. I just talked to him last week. Who believes that he's got it all figured out. He believes that his mind is greater than God's, evidently. For what he thinks is more important than Scriptures. He wants to argue with God. But my Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's so great because our Savior did what He did upon the cross of Calvary to save us from our sin. It is so great because there is nothing you can do or I can do to save ourselves. It is a great salvation because you and I, we don't have to earn it. We just simply receive it. It was spoken by the Lord. Notice, it was also confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Not only was this gospel given by the Lord Jesus Christ as He roamed the earth for 3.5 years, but we find that those disciples who were alongside of Him and those whom they spoke to, listen, they spoke those same words to others. We have many of those written down in what we call the Bible, the New Testament. The epistles that God used the Apostle Paul, that He used John, that He used Peter, He used Jude, He used James, He used these men of God to give to us the Scripture. But they said many, many wonderful things and preached in many places. And He said that they had their words confirmed. I want you to notice what it says, how that took place. It says, God also bearing them witness, how did He do it? With signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. How did God do that? God gave to these men who brought this gospel initially some very powerful events in their lives. They were able to heal people. They were able to perform miracles on a few occasions. Matter of fact, we find that even the dead were raised. And we find that God used those things to save the people. I have my hand upon these as well. And so God gave us the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if His word is spoken, it's far greater than that even of the angels. But He said also, I have committed that word into the hands of these whom He called disciples. And He cemented that belief into the minds, especially of the Jew, by those different miracles. There are three great periods of time in our history whereby we can look back and see where God performed miracles. What's interesting about those three times is each one of them is connected with a time when God gave His word. Go back into the Old Testament, you find there was the person of Moses. By the way, it doesn't mean there weren't miraculous things that happened at other times, but we find that God used Moses to perform miracles. How would you like to have a rod in your hand, and when you brought that thing down, the Red Sea would have parted? My goodness, what would that have been like to have seen that? What would have been like to have crossed over that Red Sea and see those walls of water right there? I can imagine some little Jewish boy walking up and seeing a fish swimming around and grabbed that thing, and he had a fish dinner that night. You know, I marvel at that. I look at Moses, and I mean, he casts the rod down the ground and it becomes a snake. Can you imagine? I don't like snakes. All the Pharaoh's magicians, what did they do? They threw their rods down. They became snakes too. But you know what happened to their snakes? Moses' rod ate theirs up. Boy, I'd like to have seen that. Anything that gobbles up snakes, I'm for. Amen? Yeah, we have some agreement there. I'm very careful in saying too much about snakes because one time I said the only good snake is a dead snake, and the guy in our church really liked snakes and he quit church because I said that. And I don't know what happens in the minds of some people on some occasions, but nonetheless, my goodness, think about that. But God used Moses. And God used Moses to write the first five books of the Bible. And we find then there was a period of time later on, we call it the time of the prophets. And during that time, there was miraculous things that took place. And these men, I mean, things happened that are not normal. What was God doing? God was saying, hey, these men, they are my people too. And they are writing this scripture, and I want people to know they are verified by me. There was another great time that we've just spoken of, and that is after the departure of our Savior and the apostles are on the scene. And God does some things in their lives. And He talks about it here in verse number 4. What's He saying? I put my stamp of approval upon them. This wonderful gospel that I have given, I have spoken it through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have also given it through these prophets. By the way, today you and I have the wonderful privilege to also speak forth the truth of God. We don't need miracles upon our lives in order to do that because we have the completed Word of God. My Bible says the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't stand before you today with a hand of miracle. I stand before you today with the blessed authority of the Word of God. And so I can proclaim the truth of God, and the Holy Spirit of God takes those things and seals them into hearts. But there's a problem. And that problem is, if we wish not to listen to the exhorting of the Word of God as somebody tells us about Jesus, we're not going to what? Receive, but we're going to lose the salvation that God has provided for us. It's not going to be ours. We're going to lose out on the opportunity. If you and I today wish to argue with God and do our own thing as opposed to accepting His simplicity of gospel, we're going to lose the salvation that He has provided for us. There's a lot of folks, they say, well, you know, in order to be saved, you've got to do this, this, and this. And you've got to go through these different steps. My Bible is very simple on that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I believe you're going to probably call because you realize who you are. I believe you're going to probably call because you recognize that your sin's taking you to an everlasting hell and you need a Savior and you can't do it yourself. You're going to call because no longer you're going to argue with God and say, I can do it myself. But I'm going to call upon Him and allow Him to do what He does best. That is to save souls. Amen. Yeah, a lot of folks out there trying to work for it. They're going to lose it. Because it's not of works. A lot of folks out there trying to accomplish it this way or that way, they're going to lose it. There are some folks say, it doesn't even matter what you believe. But I will tell you this, it does matter who you believe. You may not get all of your doctrine straight when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but it better be in Him. Because the Bible says that there is no salvation in any other. It is only in Him. You say, well, you're narrow-minded. I think there's other ways. You're going to lose your salvation with that thought. You're going to lose what God has provided for you. And by the way, it's not narrow because my Bible does say whosoever. It is a very broad thing. It is for all of mankind. My Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to be saved. And so that gospel is for every man. Can we lose the salvation God's provided if we don't accept it? If we want to argue with God, if we don't want to listen to Him, we're going to lose it. But brethren, I do have good news. When you accept it, it's not yours to keep because He's the keeper of it. You can't even keep your salvation, but He can. He's the one that keeps us saved. He's the one that, when He brings us into His family, holds on to us. It's not a matter of me holding on to God. It's a matter of me letting Him hold on to me. I'm in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 10. But not only that, I find Him in the hand of God. Now I know Jesus and God be the same, but I dare anybody to pull me out of His hand. I got saved February of 1966. I believed for nearly a year and a half that I had received the gift of God and that God had saved me. But I also believed that I could lose it. My thought was this: if God gave me a gift, I could give it back. I thought it would be very foolish, but I thought, you know, I could lose this thing. And I read a few different scriptures that seemed to somewhat indicate that. But one day I was with a friend of mine. Some of you remember a man by the name of Tom Peace. Tom was attending Bible college over in Omaha at that time, and he took me over to the college to see it, and there was a little room there. I didn't know what it was. It was just a small room, had kind of a bench that was there. And what I found out afterwards was a place they took people to talk to them about Jesus. Well, that's where he took me. And we sat down, and he said to me, "Gene, do you know today if you died, you'd go to heaven?" I said, "Well, I think so." And he said, "Let me show you something from the Bible." He took his Bible out and he opened up. I've already quoted it once, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. He said, "Read that to me," and I read it. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He said something to me, kind of floored me for a moment. He said, "Have you called?" I said, "Yeah, I have." And then he said, "Based upon Scripture, what did God do?" I said, "He saved me." He said, "You do it yourself?" "No." "Who did it?" "God." You see, when God saves you, you can't lose it because it's not yours to lose. It's His salvation given to you. It's yours. You say, but preacher, can't I do some things wrong that would negate the salvation God has given to me? Here's a newly wedded couple. I pick on them all the time. You're going to quit setting up here, aren't you? Have you guys had a fight yet?
Every once in a while,
yeah. Have you? Have you seen them? You have? Things get a little strained, do they? You still got that paper?
She keeps track.
Yeah, I know. Even though it gets strained, and one of you have wronged the other one, have you figured out yet it's always you? She's agreeing with me. Is it always him? Generally her. All right, we're having a little fun. Though, can we just use the word sin? Splits that fellowship between them. They're still what? Married. Still husband and wife. What do you got to do to get things right? Ask her to forgive you. Yeah, and God too. And when you're wrong, okay, you ask Him. Have you done that yet? Okay, just checking. Can I pick on somebody else here? Thanks. Doc says, at my age, don't have time to fight. Amen. That ought to be all of us, quite frankly. But what are we seeing? That marriage, it sticks. Now, I realize in this world that a marriage can be dissolved. But that's not so with God. God said the only reason He allowed that was for the hardness of our hearts. Guess whose heart is not hard? God's. He never dissolves that relationship. You see, He's the keeper of our soul. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And you and I, if we've accepted His wonderful salvation, cannot lose it. But if you will not accept what God has given you, it will be lost. It'll be gone. You say, well, I'll spend some time in purgatory and get it back. In redneck language, there ain't no such place. It does not exist but in the figment of imagination. It's not in the Word of God. There is no second chance after death. The question is, have you accepted the gift of salvation? That which was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, that which was given to us by the apostles, that which has been brought down to us by generation after generation, that which you and I who are saved have responsibility to what? Give it to the next generation. Is the salvation you have, is it safe? Or is it in jeopardy? God's provided it. Have you accepted it? Lord God, today work in hearts. Lord, I pray for your folk. Oh, God, I pray for yours who are saved. Lord, we might first of all recognize that this salvation is for everybody. And the reason often they don't hear is because we don't speak it. Oh, God, speak to our hearts with this. Lord, I pray for any in this room today who've never really accepted that which you've provided for them. May it be a day of salvation. Work upon our hearts. Do a work in our midst, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.